We're also joined by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, Rhode Island.
Mayor, what are the three most important specific things you would do if elected as governor to try and bring more jobs to Rhode Island?
The first thing is I want to keep a lot of the talent that we have here, and that's why I propose creating an entrepreneur venture seed fund with $1 million to try to provide $5,000 grants to help many of the small business ideas, especially those students coming out of the colleges and universities, with dollars for professional help, lawyers, accountants, whatever, to get them to get their business plan running. If they get up and running, then let's waive that $500 minimum corporate tax and even give them some type of tax credit on any employees because, you know, for the first couple of years, those make or break years, that will help them a lot. Improve our educational system through continued innovation and accountability, because I see a continued need to restructure our educational system, make it a total system from kindergarten all the way on through college into the workforce, breaking down a lot of those silos. And that's why I call for the Commissioner of Education to report in to hopefully me as governor, making sure that workforce development, DLT, making sure that our business development, economic development, all works together with education so that once our student gets out of the educational system, they're ready for the workforce. Last thing, infrastructure. And I think, you know, creating more public-private partnerships and infrastructure banks, those are the three priority areas I see as improving our state's economy. You know, particularly lowering taxes is an issue that's on everyone's mind, my mind, to really better the business environment.
One of your fellow Republicans, State Senator Dawson Hodgson of North Kingstown, wants to create an independent commission to investigate the state's disastrous deal with 38 studios. Do you support that idea?
I definitely support that idea, because right now the taxpayers never had a vote on it because it was a moral obligation bond. And I think I've been clear all throughout. I don't support paying that $12.5 million back on our bond based on the information that I know now. It's something that I think the taxpayers of Rhode Island deserve more answers as to what actually went on in any of those discussions from some of our public officials that many people voted to put into that office.
Let's go to Scott.
Your old friend Mayor Tavares, your high school buddy, is a Democrat, of course, mayor of Providence. He has called for a universal pre-kindergarten school program around the state. What do you think of that?
You know, I do support pre-kindergarten because I see the value, but that decision has to be left to many of the individual communities, because one of the big problems that is going to happen with the call for universal pre-K for everyone is the cost factors. Some community may not be able to do it. They may not need it either. So I think it should be a decision that's made by the individual respective communities. In fact, in Cranston, I have worked with our superintendent who see a need in our schools to apply for some of those fundings from the Department of Ed. That should be a decision that's made individually and not just forced upon people as
a
mandate.
But what happens then to the poor towns that can't afford it, which have the kids who need it, won't get it, and the Barringtons and the East Greenwiches and the towns that have the money to do this can do it, and that'll just increase inequality and educational achievement gap.
I disagree with you, Scott, because what'll happen is it's an individual. It's not the ones that have the dollars may not want it because they can afford to have, you know, the kids in a type of day school before that prepares them. So I would disagree with that decision that it's just the winners versus losers based on dollars, because otherwise, it's just a universal mandate as to whether or not everyone should have it, and it's another mandate passed down to the cities and towns to pay.
Mediation is continuing in response to the lawsuit over the 2011 overhaul of the state pension system, and there's speculation about how there might be some kind of settlement. If you're elected governor, what's your bottom line on whether you would accept or oppose changes to that overhaul of the pension system in 2011?
I would not support any changes that's going to pass on more costs to whether it's the people of the state of Rhode Island or even to Cranston, because Cranston has a foot in that door as well. If they're going to make changes that's going to have a monumental impact on our tax dollars, I definitely would not support it.
Where is the line on what is a monumental impact?
Well, any financial impact, I guess. Instead of a monumental, any financial impact that's going to, you know, really, you know, pass it back down where we're going to have to, you know, raise taxes to meet that obligation. That's a very serious consideration.
You know, you've criticized Obamacare, but the Republican Party seems to have come up with no alternative. What would your alternative be?
No, I'm not criticizing, because even when I said on the state health care exchange, I would not support, you know, sending our people up into that federal system. What I was saying is let's find a more efficient dollar-wise way to do it. Like our state system right now, we're having better experiences than the federal system. Let's see if we can even do it more efficiently, because that cost that I've heard, I think it was like about $24 or $26 million, the cost of running exchange, you know, for the website. Let's see if we can do it more efficiently, working with, say, a system like Massachusetts that already has a system in place. See if we can do efficiencies better, whether working with them to share a system or changing the laws to see whether or not we can pull together, you know, our systems, because once you have a bigger pool, that might help us in reducing costs.
We're talking here with Republican gubernatorial candidate Alan Fung. Your campaign has defended how you gave a past contribution to Angel Taveras on behalf of your employer at the time, Metropolitan Life, for whom you were a counsel and lobbyist. Do you think that's a good system in which lobbyists try and curry favor by making political contributions?
You know, everyone has a right to make a political contribution. In fact, I didn't give to Angel because of my job as MetLife, because, you know, we didn't lobby on the local level. That was a personal relationship that the two of us had. As everyone's known, we've known each other for well over 30 years. He supported me. I've supported him for each of our respective candidacy. But, you know, as in my past position working for MetLife, I've contributed to many people throughout. But if you take a look at during my decade of being in office, I've contributed significantly to Republicans over, I think, 80 candidates, you know, at all levels. So it's one of these things where that was a different aspect of my life, what I've done in the past. But now I've supported Republican candidates at state, local, and even at the federal level.
One of the nettlesome issues that, particularly in the east side of Narragansett Bay, has been the Sakonnet toll issue. What would you do about those bridge tolls? What's your plan?
And that's one of the things I just mentioned earlier. More public-private partnerships.
Wait a minute. You put a toll on it or not? This decision has to be made.
I've always said no to that Sakonnet, because what I don't support is tolling in one particular area that has a detrimental impact on that area and paying for others.
When you announced, you said there's a better statewide solution. What is that solution?
Public-private partnerships, trying to create an infrastructure bank like what Chicago Mayor Ron Emanuel and others across the country have done, where it might require some more bonding. Let's rethink on whether or not because we're going to have to put some dollars into it. There's no free rides anywhere. But let's take a look at a combination of how we can do it in a better way, more efficient way, that leverages private sector dollars on top of public sector money.
The Cranston City Council recently rejected a contract that you negotiated with Cranston Police that would have given them an 11.25% raise over 3 years. Critics might say that this raise looked very political in terms of how it was backloaded in the last years of the contract after the election season next year. What do you say?
Very disappointing, because when you take a look at the fiscal note overall, there were a lot of long-term structural changes that, from a management perspective, we were able to get in exchange for, you know, those raises that got them up. Because let's remember one thing, the officers sacrificed for those tough times where they gave back dollars and took zeros. But on top of that, we were able to get some very long-term structural changes from having them start to pay OPEB. Other post-employment benefits.
Thank you.
The retiree health care. They're not only just paying it when they retire, but they're paying into that system now into retirement. We got increased health care co-shares to them. We also had, you know, management changes so that it's not straight seniority for a couple positions, as well as other things. When you take a look at the overall net impact, the Cranston taxpayers could afford it. Now we might have to be in arbitration. That's what's very disappointing.
Mayor, how do you rate State Education Commissioner Deborah Gist, who's become quite a polarizing figure, particularly with some of the teachers?
I personally like Commissioner Gist. I've said that, you know, on numerous occasions.
Would you keep her on?
And one of the things, I've not making promises to any department directors is, you know, I'm saying, oh, I'm keeping you on. I'm not keeping you on. I'm not doing that. Let's face that. After on November 5th, as we do the transition, I will interview all the directors. If they want to stay, they have the opportunity to reapply. I did that in Cranston, and I kept some of my last administrators from the past mayor.
We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Thank you.
And Cranston Mayor and Republican gubernatorial candidate Alan Fung.
Thank you.